right, so today's message is know who you are and change your life. You know, I didn't know what I was going to call today's message. And yesterday, we were at an event, a party, and Liza was talking to a guy that we just met, and I was kind of just sitting and listening to the two of them kind of talk, and it was interesting because he said something. He said, you know, you first have to figure out who you are, and then you find God. And Liza said, no, you've got to know God, and then you can figure out, then you know who you are. And he said, isn't it the same thing? And I thought that was an interesting response because Liza responded, no, I've tried it both ways, and they're different. And I've tried it both ways, and they're different. You know, a lot of times when we're trying to discover who we are, first, we're looking at our experiences, we're looking at our background, we're looking at our education, we're looking at what we have done or what we have failed to do, and we're thinking, okay, that's who I am. That's what as much as I can do, or that's what I can accomplish. And that is completely different from really if we look at what God created us to be. And once we start to understand who God is, and we start to understand what He is saying and what He created us to do and to be, now there can be a whole different picture from your experiences in your life, your memories in your life, and the things that you've done in your life. Your whole life changes when you know who you are, getting it from the Creator. You know, we don't fully understand the full capacity of what something can do until we look at the instruction manual sometimes. I know I'm not a super sophisticated technical guy, and I got this iPhone that I love. Everywhere I go, I use this iPhone, and I got all kinds of apps that I use, and I've gotten pretty good at it, but still there's things I don't know. The other day, I was asking somebody a lot more technical and more proficient in it how to use it, Lola. Our daughter. And she was telling me, you know, because I wanted to put more than one picture on an email, and I just didn't know how to do this. And suddenly she's showing me, you know, click this button, click that button. It was very easy to do, but I didn't know how to do it. And what my point is that sometimes we don't understand the full capacity of what something's capable of doing until we read the instruction manual, until we really talk to somebody who knows what they're talking about in terms of that piece of equipment or that device. And the same is true of us. What better to consult than the Creator of us to find out who we are and what we're capable of? What we can, what's the true performance ability of Ted? I can find that out by consulting God a lot better than I can by looking in the mirror. Because all I'm going to guess from the mirror is based on my own understanding and my own experiences. And if all of those have been based on misunderstandings in my life, or based on false beliefs, believing that I wasn't good enough, or I'm not smart enough, or I'm not strong enough, and if that's what all my memories and my experiences are based on, how the heck am I going to come to the conclusion that I'm better or that I'm more than I already think I am? You can't do it. So we really learn who we are by consulting and knowing God. And I want to start out by reading 1 John 3, chapter 3, verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. How great is God's love? What kind of love is this that God is using? That when He pours it out upon us, He calls us children of God. We are the children of God. You are the children of God. You are God's sons or daughters. When you know that, when you have the revelation of what that truly means, God is your Father, it changes everything. Everything about your life when you understand that. I remember this movie called Star Wars. And there was this one particular scene where Darth Vader said, Luke, I am your father. Poor impression. But he did say that. It weakened Luke. This guy that was under the forces of darkness, the Lord of darkness, is his father, Luke's father. It weakened him. It zapped his strength. It zapped his motivation. It, you know, he lost that fight. He lost that battle. When he found that out, it was shocking. When you were in the movie theater and you heard that, you were shocked too. You're like, oh my God, it can't be. It's got to be a joke. It's a trick. Because he found out who his father was. And his father was not somebody good. And it reflected on him and what happened after that. But you just found out your father is the God, Almighty God, all-powerful God, all-knowing God, having created everything in heaven and on earth. That's your father. And the same as when Luke found out who his father was, it changed how he felt. You knowing that you are a child of God changes you. It changes who you are. It changes what you can do. It changes what you're capable of. Get this revelation, people. Say amen.
Amen.
You are children of God. Children, say that to yourself. Just in your heart. Children of, I'm a child of God. I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. God is my father. God is saying that to you. I am your father. He is saying that to you. Let that sink in. Let that sink in that you are a child of God. John chapter 1 verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave them the right to become children of God. If you receive Jesus, you have the right to be called to become a child of God. You are a child of God when you believe in Jesus and everything he did. You are a child of God. How did we become children of God? How did that happen? What happened there? Adoption. Adoption happened. And this is interesting because here's what it says. This is Ephesians. Ephesians 1:4. Just as he chose us, he's talking about you, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. So we were adopted through believing in Jesus. We are adopted. We became a part of the family. That's what adoption is, right? You become a part of somebody's family. They adopt you into them. Sometimes there's literal adoptions where you have to file all these paper. Sometimes you just have a bunch of friends and they adopt you, not literally with the paperwork, but they just say, you're our family. Come spend time with us. Come and love us. Come and be a part of what we're doing and where we're going and what we want to accomplish. And they just invite you into the group to be part of their family. And God adopted us. He adopted us. And this was the plan. It says predestined. That means he planned this out a long time before. He knew this before you were born. And he chose you and said, you're going to be a son or a daughter. You're going to be a child of God. You're going to be one of my kids. I'm adopting you and bringing you into my household, into my family. Says here in Galatians 4, verse 5, to redeem those who were under the law that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Abba means daddy. Daddy. So we are adopted as his children. So we cry out to God, Daddy! You know, when you say Daddy, you get this warm feeling. And just think about your God, your dad, is all powerful, almighty. All things are possible with him. And when you cry out, Daddy, to him, there's nothing he can't do to alleviate your pain, to alleviate your suffering, to alleviate your discomfort, to open the way for you to do great things. Say amen.
Amen.
And this is the wonderful thing. So through our believing in those promises of God, as he walked as Jesus upon the earth, when we believe that, and we believe in him through adoption, they also call that baptism, because we are baptized into the family. It means we become a part of the family when we receive that baptism. Adoption. You have become children of God. You are children of God. You're children of God. The great thing about having God as your daddy, I don't know if you ever did this on the playground, but you know, I used to always say, my dad's stronger than your dad. My dad can beat you up, your dad up. You ever have those? Maybe girls didn't have those. I know boys were always having those conversations out on the playground where I was. You know, but hey, my daddy can beat yours up. Because he's God. He's all powerful. He's amazing. Now, follow me here. So you are children of God, adopted in the family through the believing, through the baptizing. And that makes you heirs. Heirs of God. Kings needed an heir to even be validated. I've been watching all these movies about kings recently on TV. They keep popping up. And I was seeing that every king needs to have an heir. In fact, the soldiers and the army would not even go out and fight for some kings if they didn't already have an heir. They wouldn't bother going, because it was almost like there's no point, there's no purpose to me going out into this battle. What am I fighting for? There's no future without an heir. Now, it's interesting because you think, God is going to live forever. Why does he need an heir? Why does God need an heir if he's going to live forever? But remember that kings were putting their heirs in charge of other stuff before they were ruling over the kingdom. Right? We have the Duke of Wellington, the Prince of Wales, these other areas, smaller constituencies in the kingdom. They were given charge over. People that were in line to the throne, heirs, were put in charge of these other constituencies and began to rule and watch over them. And God has put us as heirs in charge of the constituency called earth. This physical place where we are to use the authority and the power that he has given us to bring heaven on earth, to bring it into alignment with heaven. That's why we're here. We are the heirs of God. Let's read a few verses about the heirs of God. This is Galatians 3:26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. We already talked about that. For as many as of you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For all are one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What promise is that they're talking about? Remember what God promised Abraham? He promised that his descendants would be as many as the stars in the sky. He promised that he would be great. And he promised to give him a land. A great land. That same promise he reiterated to Moses, telling the people of Israel, that promised land, you're going to go to that promised land. I'm going to deliver you out of Egypt to go to that promised land. This is the promise that God is speaking about. And this is the promise that we receive through adoption, through believing and being baptized in Jesus. We step into that promise. We are now heirs.
receiving that promise. Think about that. You're now. Notice here, it mentioned slave at one point, or servant. A servant or a slave is not in charge. You ever hear the servant giving orders? A servant doesn't give the orders. The heir gives the orders. The son gives the orders. That's who's in charge. That who's in charge of the property. That's who's in charge of the estate. That's who's in charge of the country. They're the ones that give the orders. But notice, you're no longer slaves. You're no longer servants. You have been delivered out of that. And you are now heirs. You are in a place of power. You are in a place where you have been lifted up as children of God and heirs of God, where now you can do great things. Great things. Let me read this part about heirs. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Listen to what that's saying there. That is saying that you are an heir and you are equal with Jesus. You're equal with Him. It doesn't say that you're a sub-heir or a lower servant. It doesn't say that you're beneath Him. It says that you are joint heirs, equal. Meaning that through that adoption, and we see this in life too, that when a family adopts a child into their family, if they already have children, that child becomes the same as the children they've already given birth to. They're all equal. They're not different. Same in this instance. God has adopted us into His family, and we are now joint heirs. We are equal with Jesus. We have the same abilities, the same rights as He does. Anything He did, we can do. Anything God said that He could do, we could do. We are the same. We are the same. We are children of God. We are heirs of God. We are joint heirs with Christ. Amen. With Jesus. Are you starting to get a picture of who you are? This is what God is saying about who you are. This is what God is saying. What manner of love is this that the Father has poured out upon you to make you a member of His family, a child of God, to make you an heir, to make you a joint heir, even with Jesus? This is the love that God pours out upon you. This is who you are. You have everything that God promised: wisdom, strength, a power to heal, a power to transform this world, to bring love. You have that power. Say amen.
Amen.
You have that strength. You are the same as Jesus. Through the adoption process that God formed, that He predestined this adoption process, He planned it out. From the very beginning, He was planning it and setting it up. Getting all the paperwork into order so that you could be brought into His family as a son or daughter, as a child of God, heir of God, meaning you're in charge. You're an owner. You're not a slave or a servant. You're an owner. You need to have an owner mentality, though, if you're an heir. Do you have an owner mentality? Or do you have a servant mentality? A renter mentality. You need to have an owner mentality because you're an heir of God. If God owns everything, because He created everything, if God has, and you read about and hear about cities of gold, streets of gold, you have to be ready to own that. You have to be ready to rule over that. You have to develop an ownership mentality so that wherever you go in your constituency called earth, which you are the heir over, you are ruling over, God has put you in charge of, you need to look at it like you own it. People feel different about stuff they don't own. You know, if you rent something, if you're just renting, you got to be careful who you're renting to. Because some people are going to come in, and because they're renting, they don't care about it. They're not going to watch over it as close. You can walk down the street and you can pick out the houses that are rented. The grass is all burned out, or there is no grass, just dirt. Paint is peeling off the walls. It's a different mentality when you own it. Sometimes they get in there and they trash it. I've heard stories about people who have just completely, the walls were all messed up, the sinks were pulled out. Why? Because they didn't own it. When you don't own something, you don't feel the same about it. But you're an heir of God. He's put you in charge of the earth, meaning you own it. And that means everywhere you go, every situation you see, you got to look at it through the eyes of an owner. You're not the servant. You're the owner. And you got to look around and begin to realize, I own this. And it'll change the way you feel about it. Sometimes somebody may ask you to watch their coat. They put it down on the chair next to you. Watch my coat for a few minutes. You ever had somebody do that? Somebody else comes along and picks up that coat and walks out the door. And that person comes back and goes, where's my coat? Oh, some guy came and he just picked up and walked out the door with that coat. They start running out the door after them. Often, we don't run after them. We didn't own the coat. The person that owned the coat, they run after the person that took it, though. They're willing to go after it because they owned it. See, we feel different about something when we don't own it. We were just watching it. Well, I watched it go out the door. We feel different about it. But as heirs of God, in charge, we have to start taking an ownership mentality and begin to look at things differently. Suddenly it becomes our responsibility to plant the grass. Suddenly it becomes our responsibility to make the neighborhood look good. If something's out of place, I need to begin to pray about that. I need to command that. I need to change that. I need to do something about that. If I'm just renting, it doesn't matter. I'll move somewhere else. I'll go to a different neighborhood. After I mess this one up, I'll go somewhere else. But if I'm owning it, I take care of it. I watch over it. As an heir of God, you need to have that mentality of ownership. We are joint heirs with Christ. You're not doing it alone. He's working with you. His Spirit has come into your heart. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. And that power is working through you. So you don't have to just do it of your own physical will and go out there and try to change things. You're doing it with a supernatural power. Remember who your God is. Remember who your daddy is. Remember who your father is. You're children of God. That means there are different ways to change the world. We don't have to try to change it the way people try to change the world. We want to change it the way our daddy would do it. Just like all those heirs that were under the king, they would do it according to the way the king wanted it done. They would do it according to how he said the kingdom should be ruled, not on their own. If that happened, some of these movies I was watching, it did happen, where they would do it their own way, he would remove their title. They were no longer heirs of that particular constituency. They were taken out of it, and he put somebody else in there that would do it the way he wanted it done. God has made us heirs. We are filled with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. And when we do it God's way, things can change very quickly. Things can happen in this earth when we proclaim it. Amen. When we fill it up with the truth, it will transform. Amen. Let's go down here. Just as my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith? Has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him?
Amen.
We love him through receiving and understanding and believing what Jesus did. You're baptized in. And that makes us heirs of this kingdom. God has a kingdom, and he has given it to you to rule over. Now you need to start seeing it with that kind of ownership mentality and acting in accordance with that. Now I say to you that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is a master of all. Child doesn't differ at all from a slave. What's that saying? It says we got to grow up in understanding what our position is, who we are. We are not the slave. We are not the servant. We are the heirs of God. We are the children of God. When we grow in faith, when we're working on building our faith in our heart and growing in the understanding of what the promises of God are and what God said to do, when we are led by the Holy Spirit to do great things and we act on those, we are no longer living like a child. We are now beginning to walk as the heir of God. Master of all. Master of all is what it said. There are many people who have been baptized into the family that live as servants or slaves. They don't know or don't look at themselves as joint heirs with Christ. They don't see themselves as being children of God. They always say, oh, I'm worthless, I'm a sinner. Even though they have received the promise of God by receiving Jesus. This is the verse. This is what the verse speaks about. These people that are children, they haven't grown in faith, haven't grown up in faith to understand or see who they are. As I said, if we don't know who we are, we can't do the things that we were created to do. You need to grow up in faith, understanding and knowing who you are, so you can do the great things that God planned for you, that he predestined for you, that he put before you the opportunities. You have to know that you're an heir. You're an heir of God. Not a slave, not a servant, not beneath. You are joint heirs with Christ.
Amen.
Remember that and receive it. Now, here's what's cool. If you're children of God, if you're heirs of God, know that the heir receives an inheritance. There is an inheritance that has been laid up, been given to you. Now, our daddy, our father is God. This is the guy that owns cities of gold, streets of gold. This is the guy that owns everything. So if that's the case, what is your inheritance? What is the inheritance that he is going to give you? He said he will not hold anything back from you. What has he given you? He has given you grand riches and wealth beyond belief. He has given you wisdom. He has given you health superior above and beyond what people think healthy is. The health that God gives you, 10 times better than what we think healthy is. The wisdom that God gives, 10 times better than what we think a wise person is on this earth. The riches we think of people that are rich and we think, oh, that guy's rich. The inheritance that God gave you is 10 times greater than that.
Amen.
10 times greater than somebody you think is wealthy. That's what you have. That is the inheritance of God that he has given you. And I say you because you are children of God. And as the children of God, you can receive the inheritance. You're entitled to the inheritance. Because it's been laid up for the children. And he wants you to receive it fully and completely. That I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth. That I may fill their treasuries. Would you like to have your treasury filled?
Yes.
Do you have a treasury?
Yes.
Let it be filled up.
Amen.
Let it be filled up because God wants to fill it. Those of you who love him are the ones that have believed him when he came and walked on the earth and received him into your hearts. You are the ones that love him. And to those who love me, they inherit wealth. You inherit wealth. You have that inheritance already. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. The upright are the righteous. You were made righteous through receiving Jesus. You are the righteous. This is something else to know about yourself. You are righteous. You have been made right, in right standing with God. And those that are upright receive this inheritance. And their inheritance shall be forever. You will never lack. You will never need. There will never be shortage. You see how important it is to know who you are? Because if you didn't know you were an heir of God, you wouldn't know there was an inheritance waiting for you, and you wouldn't receive it. And then you would struggle. You want to know there is an inheritance waiting for you. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. This is in Colossians 1:12. He has qualified us, again, adopted us, to be partakers of that inheritance. We deserve it. It's ours now. It belongs to us because we are the children of God.
Amen.
Are you receiving this?
Yes.
Are you ready to be owners of great treasuries filled to the brim? Are you ready to take part in that and receive that?
Yes.
We want to receive that inheritance. It's waiting for us. It's already been laid up. It's waiting. And when you understand and you know and you believe what God has said, that you are a child of God, then you will receive it. Then you will have it. Then it will be yours fully and completely. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. It's been predestined. It belongs to you. It's been planned to be given to you from the very beginning, before the foundation of the earth. God said, I'm going to give this inheritance, an inheritance of wealth, an inheritance of wisdom, an inheritance of health. Say amen.
Amen.
An inheritance so beyond all things you could possibly believe or imagine.
Amen.
He predestined this to you from the very beginning. And it belongs to you, and you just need to receive it. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. All of us heard the word of truth. We heard the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, we believed that story about Jesus. We said, yes, you are the Son of God. We were adopted or baptized into the family. We became partakers of the inheritance. Say amen.
Amen.
And you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. We received that Holy Spirit. We were baptized with the Holy Spirit. We are filled with the Spirit of God, the Spirit of love. And as a result, it's the guarantee of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of his glory.
Amen.
Oh, God has a great plan. God has fulfilled a great plan. Listen, he has fulfilled the plan already. He predestined it from the beginning, and he fulfilled it in the body of Jesus. And by it being fulfilled, you are heirs of God.
Amen.
You have an inheritance of God. Say amen.
Amen.
Get excited about this.
Amen.
I hope I'm not just talking to myself here.
No.
And as a result of that, there is wisdom and health and riches beyond belief waiting for you. You own this earth. You walk as heirs. Say amen.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.